Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Thank you so much. Great to see everybody this morning. We are in the middle sermon of our family series today, a series that I've entitled Hope for Families in Hectic Times. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to challenge our men. And, you know, when I get up here and say things, the only way I know to say them is just to say them. I'm not good at sugarcoating things. I'm really not good at making small talk, and so I just say what needs to be said, and it was kind of rough last week, wasn't it, guys? I had a bunch of guys come up to me after the service and go, Phil, that was brutal, man. You shouldn't have done that. That was really, really harsh. But then you know what they all told me after they were finished joking? They said, you know, we really needed that. I needed that reminder today. I had one guy tell me, he said, Phil, man, my wife was sitting beside me, and she heard everything you said, and I'm scared to go home. He said, I think I may just go and drive around all afternoon. I'm actually scared to go home. But he also said, no, it was good, and we needed that reminder. And so today I have the enviable privilege of speaking to the ladies this morning. And I've already made arrangements for immediately after the service for there to be an armored guard to escort me out. You have pointed shoes. Well, that's not good. I've booked a one-way ticket out of the country at 11:30 just to be safe, so I'm going to be gone. I hope that this will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you today. And I will say this in all seriousness, and this is an important thing for me. You know, anytime a person gets up behind a pulpit to speak, I think there's far too much bullying that goes on from the pulpit around the country. And pastors sometimes use this as a platform to teach things and say things that they're not living out. A pastor may treat his wife like dirt at home, and then he gets up and preaches a sermon on how men ought to treat their wives, and he thinks nothing of it. So here's a great thing, and I just want to kind of let you know this. My sweet wife was here last Sunday to hear everything I said and to help hold me accountable on that level, and that's a good thing. And she's here today listening to every word I'm going to say, and I believe that's important. That a man be held accountable when he's up here speaking. And baby, I love you. I want you to know that. Hope we have a good afternoon today. That's all. But I want you to know I'm not going to say anything up here that I wouldn't discuss with my wife. And I just pray, you know, some of these things that, ladies, you're going to hear today, you may go, yeah, I know that. I've heard that 1,000 times. I just pray you'll listen with fresh ears and an open heart. Because it's not really what I'm saying to you. You know, these are opportunities for God to step in and minister to us. And as I said a minute ago, I don't really know how to, you know, waste time on things and sugarcoat things. So sometimes I just say them. And I want you to know, if anything comes across today or in any of my messages that would make you feel like, oh, he's trying to make me feel guilty, he's trying to make me feel bad, you need to know that's not the case at all. I love you, and I know that you love me. And we respect each other. This is not about me making anybody feel guilty. I'm right there in the trenches with you, living life day to day, struggling with these things just like you are. This is about us becoming, helping each other become more like Christ. So that every area of our life, our marriage, the way we raise our children, the way we do our work, the way we give our money, all of those things are not just ends in themselves. They are opportunities for people to see God in us, in our marriage, in our kids, and so on. And so that's my goal for us today, is to help us maybe just get some reminders on some important things, and not just to hear these things again, but perhaps for the first time maybe to understand why these things are so important. And then just one other note, if you're not married and you're here today and, you know, you're maybe a young lady even in middle school or high school or college and you're thinking, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me at all. It really does apply to you. Because if you can begin learning some of these things now and allow God to start to work some of these things into your life, then as I told the single men last week, you'll have a head start when you do get married. I don't know if you heard the story about a couple who were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. And they were actually kind of quite an item in the little tiny town that they lived in because everybody knew that their marriage was a picture of harmony and love and tranquility and had been for decades. So on their golden anniversary, the newspaper reporter from the little newspaper office came and he was interviewing the husband. And he said to him, tell me, you know, this whole town has watched your marriage for decades and we're just amazed at the peace and the harmony that we see in your marriage. What is your secret? And he said, well, it actually began on our honeymoon. My wife and I went to the Grand Canyon for our honeymoon. And on our first day there, we decided to take the tour down into the Grand Canyon where you can ride those pack mules. You ever seen those? And so he said, my wife was on her mule in front of me, and we were going down the trail. And some of those trails are very narrow, and there's loose dirt, and there's loose rocks, and kind of a cliff on the side, and it's kind of scary. And he said, so we're going down, and we were just a few minutes into the trip, and my wife's mule stumbled. And I heard her lean forward and quietly say, that's one. And just a few minutes later, the mule stumbled again, and she leaned forward, and she said, that's two. And he said, you know, it wasn't much longer till that mule stumbled a third time. She promptly got off the mule, took a pistol out of her purse, and shot the mule dead. And he said, I started protesting and yelling at her and asking her what in the world she was doing treating a helpless animal that way. And she turned to me and she said, that's one. He said, we've had a great marriage ever since. Hey, we want marriages that are harmonious, that are healthy, that are strong, that are peaceful, that are happy as much as it possibly can be. That's what we want, but we don't want to achieve them that way. God has a better plan for our marriages. He wrote the book on this. And what I want to share with you this morning are just a few simple points in the time that we have on some things that husbands wish their wives knew. Last week, we talked about some things that wives wish their husbands knew. And you know, the sad thing is so often a married couple will go through their entire marriage carrying these things painfully, secretly within their heart and never discuss them with their spouse. Folks, it ought not be that way. If there are things that wives wish their husbands knew, they ought to talk about it. If there are things that husbands wish their wives knew, they ought to talk about it. Remember last week, man, I challenged you, one of the things you need to be doing on a regular basis is planning time to sit down and talk with your wife and listen to the things that are important to her. Plan those times, schedule those times. You know, one of the things that will come out of those regular times together are things like we're talking about today. You'll have opportunities to say to each other, you know, this is really hard for me to say, but, and I don't even know how to put it into words, but I'm really struggling with something in our marriage. And I don't know how to communicate it, but I just kind of need to let you know that I'm hurting in some way. And can we talk about it? Can we pray about it? Can we together figure out a way to make this better? I forget who wrote this line, but one author wrote this, a profound line. He said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And I can tell you, that's the truth. While men may look tough and rugged on the outside and they go to great lengths to maintain this macho, tough exterior and that everything's fine and nothing bothers them, I want to tell you, in my experience in talking to husbands, is that churches are filled with men who who are living lives of quiet desperation. They're screaming on the inside, and they don't know what to do. So just as I challenged our men last week to step up on some points, on things that, their wives wish they knew and would do, today I want to take a few minutes and I want to challenge the ladies in the room to step up and to open your eyes and open your heart to some things that your husband wish that you knew. And the truth is, you probably know these. The truth is, the men knew those last week. But as so many of the men said, thank you for the reminder, because I had let some of that slip. The first thing that I want to share with you this morning that husbands wish their wives knew and would do is to respect and affirm him. Did you know, ladies, that men would rather feel, listen to this, men would rather feel alone and unloved than disrespected? Now, for a woman, that is an absolutely unthinkable equation. A woman would say, are you kidding me? I would much rather feel disrespected than unloved. But for a man, it's the complete opposite. God has wired men in such a way that, honestly, men would rather feel unloved, they would rather be alone, than to feel disrespected. Ladies, if your husband doesn't think that you think he's the greatest, he will seek affirmation somewhere else. He may immerse himself into work. He may spend hours and hours and hours of overtime at the office because he feels respected there. He feels affirmed there. He feels smart there. He may spend way too much time talking to the female associate at the office because she thinks he's smart, and she thinks his jokes are funny, and he's getting affirmation from her that he's not getting from his wife. He may immerse himself into hobbies and sports, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if a man uses those things as an escape from his wife so that he can find affirmation there and find respect there when his buddies say, good job, man, great shot, good hit. And he goes, wow, I feel affirmed here. This is good. If he's using those things as an escape, it is a dangerous pattern. Here's the thing. If a man doesn't feel respected, he feels unloved. They are that closely connected for the man. Wives, you want to know the greatest thing you can do for your husband? It's not to cook his meals. It's not to wash his dirty laundry. It's not to clean the house. And wife, ladies, if you serve your family in that way, I want you to know we appreciate that. And man, you ought to tell your wife that on a regular basis if she does that for you, because she doesn't have to do that for you. But ladies, those are not the greatest things you can do for your husband to communicate your love for him. The number one thing you can do for your man is described for us in the very last verse of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. The very end says this, wives must respect their husbands. But he needs to know that you respect him. He needs to hear that from you. A survey, I'm going to share a book title with you at the end. This survey comes from that book. Survey showed that most wives really do respect their husbands, but they never tell them or show them. Listen to this quote. Wives who took the survey agreed that often their words and actions did not convey the appreciation they really felt for their husband. In fact, they admitted that their words and actions often conveyed a lack of trust and respect in him. But that's not the way they really felt at all. Overwhelmingly, listen to this, the majority of women said that their average, ordinary guy who sometimes leaves his fly down and leaves the toilet seat up, really was their knight in shining armor. But they never told him that. They never told him. They felt that way inside, but they never took the step to communicate to their husband, I trust you. I believe in you. And I'm proud of you. Ladies, if you only understood the power that you possess and you alone possess to speak life into your husband through your respect and your affirmation. By letting him know that you believe in him and that you're proud of him, if you only knew the power that God has given to you alone to fill that missing piece in your husband's life. You see, we miss it so often. Adam was in the garden with God in the beginning. And God said, it's the first time God said something's not good. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, wait a second. Man wasn't alone. He had God. What more could you want? He had a daily, ongoing, personal, one-on-one relationship with God. Why, as Christians, we say, God's all we need. We don't need anything else. Is that true? Don't stone me. I'm not preaching heresy yet. Day ain't over yet, though, as somebody said. So, it's not good for man to be alone. See, even God saw that there was something missing in man. Listen, I tread very carefully when I say this. There was something missing in man that God Himself could not provide. I say that with all respect and reverence. It's not good, He said. Ladies, you are that missing piece for your husband. Dare I quote one of the corniest lines ever from a movie? I'm going to do it anyway. I know I'm going to slip a couple notches on the pegs in relationship to my buddies here, okay? So just get over it. I'm going to just say this. Tom Cruise movie. I'm not recommending the movie. I know. Yeah, that was a horrible laugh right there. I don't appreciate that at all. Not a fan of Tom Cruise. All right, let's just get past that, okay? But there was a line in a movie where he is trying the best he can to communicate to the woman how he feels about her and what she does for him. Do you remember the moment? And he looked at her, and he's trying to get the words out, and it's like a typical guy thing. We don't know what to say. We're such bumbling morons when we try to communicate emotions and love to a woman. Forgive us, ladies. We're not trying to be dummies. We just don't know how to verbalize that kind of stuff. But that one scene in the movie captures everything we're talking about. He looked at her and he said, "You." And then he paused and the wheels are turning and he doesn't know what to say. And he says, you remember this corny line? "You complete me." And all the guys are like, "Oh, brother." But that's the truth. Ladies, you are the, and your man may never tell you this, because men don't talk about this kind of stuff. We got to be tough, man. Hey, I don't need anything. Nothing bothers me. I'm rock solid. The truth is, if we could inject truth serum into every man in this room and melt that macho exterior, they would say, you know what? My wife does have the ability to complete me. Maybe she's not doing it, but she is my missing piece. In the movie The Natural with Robert Redford, he played this baseball player that made it to the major leagues and had a great career going on, but then he drifted into this horrible slump, and his game just went to pieces. He couldn't hit the ball, and he was about to get released from the team, and this was his last at-bat. And he's standing there, and all of this emotion is swirling around him of what's happening to his life, and it's all collapsing, and it's two strikes against him, and he stands there, and then all of a sudden, with scattered boos coming from the crowd, his girlfriend stands up in the crowd alone. She doesn't say a word, she just stands there. As if to say, I believe in you. I respect you. You can do this. And in that moment when he sees that, he gets a tighter grip on that bat. And he swings and he crushes a home run out of the park. And you go, that's just corny Hollywood stuff. No, listen, ladies. That's how we feel about your respect for us and your belief in us. They say Red Bull gives you wings. No, no, no. Your respect for us gives us wings. It truly does, ladies, if you only knew the power in your hands to speak life into your husband. God designed it that way. You can say, oh, men are just insecure, they're weak, they need building up all the time. No, 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 no. It's more than that. God made them that way. And He made you to be the one. Your key is the one that fits His lock, if you know what I mean. It unlocks him. It unleashes the potential that God put inside of him. It's in your hands. I remember so many years ago, I don't have time to get into the whole story. When I had my computer company, we were cruising along. Things were going great. In the 19 years that I had that business, I made one horrible, huge mistake that was my fault. And I remember it so well. We were in the middle of a massive project. We had all kinds of teams of people in there working on this project for a large healthcare corporation. They were one of our biggest clients. And I had a stack of papers like this, you know, in a file that I was working through and overseeing projects and all, and there was one little file folder of paper that I put in the wrong place at the beginning of the project. And when the project was almost done, I realized to my horror that I had completely missed that segment of the project. We already had go-live dates scheduled for this healthcare corporation for their new computer systems. We had people scheduled for changing shifts and all so we could do this. And when I realized this, I knew that I had potentially not only crippled this project, but possibly could have destroyed our company's good name and ruined us. It was a huge moment for me. The moment I realized this, I went to one of the directors. I told them what had happened. I said, you know, we just need to have a meeting. We need to talk about this. And so I remember so well, they called a meeting with the president of the hospital, several vice presidents, and the board of directors. This is how big of a deal this was. And I was to go in and stand in front of them and explain what had happened. Not a good day. I didn't sleep at all the night before, just tossing and turning, because it was my fault. I went in that day and, you know, long story short, I just kind of fell on my sword and explained to them. I said, this is my fault. I will take all the heat for this. Whatever we need to do to make it right, we'll make it right. And turns out they were extremely gracious. They went on for years after that to be a trusted client of ours. But that was a moment for me that as a man, I had to do something remarkably difficult. And I remember the next day when I got up, I had this note. I think I brought it. This was, I don't know how long ago this was, 14, 15 years ago. I had this note on my desk from my wife. And it said this, Dear Phil, I just want you to know I'm very proud of you. It would have been extremely difficult to handle yesterday, but you did. I'm so thankful that God gave you to me. This is the most precious gift outside of His Son. I love you, Sandy. All these years later, I have this note. I take it out from time to time and I read it. You know why? Because it fills me with life. And it fills me with a sense of being a man because my wife respects me. She trusts me. She's proud of me. And she tells me so. Ladies, you need to respect your husband and you need to let him know that you do. You need to let him know that you do. It's so, so important to a man. Quickly, number two, this seems like the same thing, but it's actually just a kind of a spinoff of this first point. Never criticize him in public. One of the most painful things you can do to your husband is to make fun of him or criticize him in front of other people. I want to tell you, this has absolutely devastating effects on a man. Wives, when you even jokingly tell other people in front of your husband about his inability to fix the dishwasher at home when it broke, he's not hearing that he couldn't fix the broken dishwasher. He's hearing that he's not a good provider and protector and that he's inadequate. When you expose your husband's weaknesses, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I hope this is not a huge problem with our families here. But when you expose your husband's weaknesses in front of other people, you share his flaws, or you simply talk down about him, take little jabs at him in front of other people, even jokingly, I want to tell you, you're striking at the very core of his manhood. You go, well, he just needs to grow up. Why don't you talk to God about that? Because God made men this way. And even though he may laugh it off, and he probably will, if he's a good-natured guy, oh, he's just going to laugh it off. And it's just, everybody thinks it's funny. But you know what's happening inside? Every time it's eroding him inside more and more and more. And you look at him and go, hey, man, that's my tough man. I mean, he can handle this. It's like walking up to a house and saying, this is a beautiful house, well-built, solid house. And what you don't know is that inside those walls, that home is eaten up with termites. The same thing happens inside your man when you criticize him and put him down in front of others. I saw this played out so vividly years ago. A friend of mine, a guy who I respect, who is a man's man in every sense of the word. He's a godly man, he loves the Lord, and he's a man. Nobody would question that. And yet I stood with him in the driveway, and I knew, I had watched for years, I knew that this man's wife was an expert at criticizing him in front of other people. It broke my heart every time I saw it. I mean, she had a sword for a tongue. And she would put him down in front of others, and just year after year after year I saw this. And in the driveway one day, just chatting casually on a beautiful sunny day, I just felt that I needed to just kind of cross a line with him and ask him a very personal question. And I said, hey, how are things going with, and I mentioned his wife's name. And he started to answer, and two or three words into the sentence, he broke down. And he began literally sobbing uncontrollably in the driveway. And it was a minute or more, at least, before he could even say another word. I knew what was going on. The floodgates had opened. All those years that his wife had criticized him, made jokes about him in front of other people, had been building and building and building. Oh, and he'd laughed it off. It was funny. But it was killing him on the inside. Ladies, when you do that to your husband, you're murdering him. And he may never tell you that, and he probably won't. And I would say to you, on the contrary, if you strive to become a wife who looks for opportunities to brag about your man in front of other people, I'm not saying this needs to be artificial. I'm saying you need to look for genuine opportunities to build your husband up in front of other people. I'm telling you, he will become the greatest husband in the world to you. He will go to the ends of the earth for you if you respect him and if you honor his dignity in public and build him up in front of others. You go, it just shows that men are weak. However you want to look at it is fine. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just telling you, God made man this way, and you hold the key to his heart. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The Bible says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Now, men, you need to do the same thing to your wife. Don't you dare put your wife down in front of other people. But I want you to know, ladies, for a man, this has far worse consequences than it does even for you. As much as it hurts you, it hurts your husband 1,000 times more. I've seen so often wives in a conversation with other people and their husband's right there, and somebody will compliment the husband. Say, man, I sure do like you. You're such a great guy. And the wife will just say, oh, he's not perfect, let me tell you that. That's all it takes to shatter your man. It's all it takes. Never do that to each other. Look for opportunities to build one another up. Finally, number three. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Your husband wants you to desire him sexually. Now, I will tell you, I spent a lot of time writing those three words because I wanted to word it exactly right. Now, there may be some squirming right now going, you know, I don't think we ought to talk about this kind of stuff in a church service. That's not right. What I would say to you is, it's that very attitude that I believe has contributed to Christian marriages being in the disastrous state that they're in today. God invented sex. It's not dirty. It's not wrong. You know what happened? The world stole it and turned it into something dirty and inappropriate. Read the Bible. Read Song of Solomon sometime, and if you can read that book without blushing, then you're way ahead of me. Because it is graphically direct about how a man feels about his woman and what his thoughts are about his woman and their right thoughts. So I would say that the church is the place for this discussion. Now, please understand, I'm going to keep this last point within some very carefully structured boundaries, so relax. It's all going to be fine. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of your spouse or your kids or your grandma or whoever happens to be here today. Ladies, you need to know that as much, and I don't need to tell you this, but as much as your husband desires sex, and that's clear to you, as much as he desires that, he wants to know that you desire him. Ladies, your sexual desire for your husband, or lack of, profoundly affects every area of his well-being and confidence in life. Every area. At the most basic level, and again, your husband will never tell you this. That's why I've been elected to get up here and speak on behalf of the men, because they're not going to tell you this because they don't want to lose street cred, right? They don't. It's like, yeah, I don't want my wife to know that I, you know. No, no, no. Okay, so I'll say it. I'll say it for them. You need to understand that at the most basic level, your husband wants to be wanted by you. There was a survey taken in this book I mentioned a moment ago. One of the questions they asked men was, how important is it to you to feel desired by your wife? 97%, just over 97% of men said it is vitally important that I feel desired by my wife. The writer of that book put it this way. I love this. Every man in here can identify with this, what I'm about to say. Okay, just hang on. This is the most graphic thing we're going to talk about, then we'll move on. He wants to know that you want to be with him in that way. The writer said this, a man would rather go out and clip the hedges in the freezing rain than to have sex with a wife who is doing it just because she feels she has to. That's why wives, in those times with your husband, you don't need to talk about the kids. You don't need to talk about the list of things that needs to be done around the house. You don't need to talk about the bills. You don't need to talk about the problems. You need to focus every ounce of your emotional energy on him. Because if you're talking about the kids, if you're talking about problems in life, in those moments when your husband is desiring that connection with you, then that leaves him thinking, well, she's here physically, but she's not here emotionally. She's not even thinking about me. She's just going through the motions. Ladies, that will kill your man. Men have been stereotyped over the years as caring only about sex as a physical act without any emotional attachment at all. And I want to tell you that is absolutely not true. Here's what you need to know. Sex fills a powerful emotional need for your husband that he probably can't even articulate to you. And because men don't ever tend to describe sex in emotional terms, their wives don't realize just how important it is to him emotionally. What men want their wives, I've heard this over and over again, what men so want their wives to understand is that sex is not just a biological need that he should be able to do without. Lack of sex is as emotionally serious for him as his sudden silence would be to you if he completely stopped communicating with you. It's just as wounding to him. And it's just as much a legitimate grievance. You need to understand this critical point that God made your husband to pursue you sexually. God made him that way. And when a husband constantly hears, "Not tonight, dear," what he's really hearing from his wife is, "You're so inadequate, you can't even compete with a pillow." That's what he's hearing. One man on that survey wrote this. Listen to this. I'm winding this down. Just listen to this. Listen to the sheer raw pain in this husband's words. He said, "We've been married for a long time. I deeply regret and resent the lack of sexual intimacy for nearly the duration of our marriage. I feel rejected, ineligible, insignificant, lonely, isolated, and abandoned as a result. Not having the interaction I anticipated prior to marriage is like," listen, "it's like a treasure lost and irretrievable. It causes deep resentment and hurt within me. This in turn fosters anger and feelings of alienation." Truth is, every husband in this room can identify with that to some level. What does the Bible say about this? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5 says this. It's speaking to the husbands and to the wives because, guys, gals, this is a mutual responsibility. All these things we talked about last Sunday, all the things we talked about today, it's not her job to fix you. And it's not his job to fix you. You need to both mutually be working at this, and then you'll discover the marriage God intended. Listen to what the Bible says. "The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife." Listen, here we go. "Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent," that is agreement, "and only for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you." I dare say that of all the sex-starved Christian marriages in churches all over the world, I dare say those couples are spending that much time in prayer. The Bible says, don't deprive each other unless you've mutually agreed to take some time to do what? To spend in prayer. Yikes. It's his word, not mine. That's tough stuff. Ladies, I want you to know God made your husband to pursue sex. That is not wrong. He made him that way. Wives, listen to me. I was very tough on your husbands last week, so bear with me as I wrap this up. I love you. You understand that? I love you, and I know you love me. I was very tough on the guys. Listen to me. I want to say the same thing I said to them last week, but for your ears. When you belittle your husband, listen carefully, wives. When you belittle your husband for constantly wanting sex, when you always push him away and say, "Just stop it, why don't you grow up?" Listen, you are shaming him for something that is not his fault. And you are criticizing the workmanship of God because God made him that way. He can no more switch off his desire for sex than you can stop breathing. He can't do it. He can't do it. Sometimes men think, if I was just more godly, I wouldn't have this desire. No! That's not true. If you are godly, you will have that desire because that is a godly desire. Wives, you need to know that you are the only legitimate source of sexual intimacy for your husband. The only legitimate source. Ladies, you provide the spiritual covering over your husband. When you remove that spiritual covering by constantly pushing him away, you are asking him to go and pursue that desire in other ways. Ladies, just as you need your husband to pursue you emotionally, he needs you to pursue him sexually. He needs that. You need to initiate on a regular basis. I know this is tough. Just hang with me. You see, you don't see what I see when I see wrecked lives of people who are ignoring these God-prescribed principles for marriage. When you force your husband to constantly come and ask you and ask you and ask you, you're making him feel like a little kid who's having to beg his mommy for something. And it's wrong. It's ungodly. When he's constantly grabbing at you at home and when he's constantly pursuing you, he's doing what God made him to do. It's good and it's right. And you're the only one who can legitimately meet that need. So I close with these few thoughts. Please just focus in with me on this as I share these thoughts. I spent so much time writing these last few lines for this message because I wanted this to be said in as perfect a way as I could possibly humanly convey this. This is so important. Listen. We talked last week about the importance of living with each other in an understanding way. Men, it's your job to learn how to love your wife in the way she needs to be loved. Wives, it's your job to learn how to love your husband in the way he needs to be loved, the way God made each of you to be loved. Listen to this. The key that unlocks a wife's heart for sex is having her emotional needs met. The key that unlocks a husband's heart for wanting to meet his wife's emotional needs is sex. Another one. For the wife, sex is the end of the pathway that begins with an emotional connection to her husband. For the husband, sex is the beginning of the pathway that leads to an emotional connection with his wife. One more. Men, for your wife to joyfully give herself to you sexually requires that you first give yourself to her emotionally. Wives, for your husband to joyfully give himself to you emotionally requires that you first give yourself to him sexually. You go, holy cow, how in the world could you ever take those two extremes and find common ground? I mean, those are two of the biggest extremes you could ever experience in life. We're looking at this from two completely different angles. How in the world could a couple ever find common ground? Well, here's the thing. Husbands and wives, if it is your goal in life, both of you, if it is your goal in life to serve your spouse and to meet his or her needs first, and if it is your spouse's goal to do the same thing for you, you will discover that amazing oneness that God designed in marriage. You will, because God wrote the book on it. And when we violate His blueprint, we're getting into serious trouble. when we follow His blueprint, we'll discover true joy. Wives, I want to say this to you. If you want to see some remarkable changes in your man, begin to joyfully and frequently give yourself to him in the way God designed for his needs to be met. And I want to tell you something. You'll start to see your husband taking the trash out without you even having to ask him. All those projects around the house that he hasn't done for 6 months, they'll just magically start getting done. You know why? Because sex is the key that unlocks a man's heart towards his wife. Wives, I promise if you do this, you'll be amazed at the man who emerges. Two books I would recommend for you. I gave the guys some books last week to read. For Women Only by Shanti Feldhahn, and The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Men, I challenge you to buy the book for men only and read it. Wives, I challenge you to buy the book for women only and read it. It will change your relationship. So let me just ask you, ladies, are the needs you're meeting for your husband the needs he needs met? I know that sounds like something from a Dr. Seuss book. It's kind of a riddle. But are the needs you're meeting for your husband the needs he needs met? In which of these areas are you failing to meet your husband's needs? And what steps are you going to take this week to begin meeting those needs? So everybody can exhale now. Everybody breathe. It's over. Okay, that wasn't too bad, was it? We need to be committed, husbands and wives, to living with our spouse in an understanding way. Man, if you strive to understand your wife and love her the way she needs to be loved, you'll be amazed at the wife you suddenly have. Ladies, if you strive to understand your husband and love him in the way he needs to be loved, you'll be amazed at the husband you suddenly have. Let's pray. Father, I know I could probably think of 40 or 50 other topics I would be a little more comfortable speaking on. But this is just vital. Christian marriages are wrecking at unprecedented numbers, and the landscape is scattered with the wreckage of Christian marriages. God, I just believe it's partly because the church has ignored this. They just don't talk about this. They don't think it's right. I just pray, Father, that you would help us move past that. I pray, Lord, that the things we talked about last Sunday for the men, the things we've talked about this Sunday for the ladies, that we would all be able to take these issues and move past the issues themselves and get down to the why these are important for each of us. That you made us this way. That it is right for us to need to be loved this way, both men and women, in the unique ways that we need to be loved. I pray, Father, you would give us servant hearts for each other. I pray that we would be committed to living out our relationship with our spouse, serving the other person first. And God, I know if we do that, you will be honored in amazing ways through our marriages, and people will see God in us. Lord, thank you for this time together. I pray that you would allow this seed to fall in the fertile ground where it needs to be and bring forth much fruit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
So come back to the light, to the love you will find. It's been here all along. So come back to the start and you'll find in your heart that you always belong. jump back.